And we are going to study the second book in this section about Exodus. Yeah. We are not Jews. Why we have to study the history of Jews? We are not Jews. Why we study the history of Jews? What is the reason? All the book of Exodus actually is talking about the history of the Jews, right? Why we have to study that? Because the Bible has two kinds of meaning. One is a literal meaning. When we talk about literal meaning, it has nothing to do with us, right? Because literally, physically, we are not Jews. But something hidden inside the literal meaning is spiritual teaching. And that really related to us because spiritually, we are the chosen people of God. So the book happened in 3,000-4,000 years ago, has spiritual implication to us nowadays. So we have to study the history of the Jews. Now we look into the book of Exodus. Exodus means exit, right? And Exodus follow the book of Genesis. Why? We still remember that Joseph was a prime minister in Egypt. It was the plan of God in preparation for the famine happened in Egypt, in Canaan. So Jacob had 12 sons, right? And Jacob later on, God changed his name to what? Jacob's name was changed to Israel, right? And what was the meaning of Israel? The name of Israel, what does that mean? The Prince of God. And Jacob, it means grafts, right? It changed from the grafts into the Prince of God. That represent the change of his personal destination. So he was chosen as the Prince of God. So Israel have 12 tribes, 12 children. They don't become 12 tribes. And one of the children, Joseph, was sold to Egypt. And later on, because the famine was so serious, so the whole family just moved to Egypt. About how many people? About 70 people that moved to Egypt for survival. And after 430 or 450 years, the 70 or 72 people multiplied to become how many people? 1 to 2 million people, right? So become a great number of Prince of God, Israelite, 1 to 2 million people. So later on, the king in Egypt feel they were threatened because the number of the Israel had been increased, so they feel threatened. So start from the Exodus chapter 1, talk about the new king who become a king and did not know Joseph. So they start to use two ways, try to eliminate the Israel. The first way is all the newborn male baby should be put to death, right? If all the male been put to death, then later on there will be no Israel, because only female. A female married Egyptian, and the baby is become Egyptian. So this is the first plot. And the second plot is they increase the burden of their work, heavy burden, work day and night, try to use a heavy burden of labor put them to death. Oh. So, and then the Israel start to cry to the Lord, oh, because that was too heavy for them to carry. Oh, right? So they cry to the Lord, and the Lord come down from heaven and to take a look, and then God chose Moses and become a savior of the Israel. And Moses did them out of the Egypt. And that is the very brief introduction about the Exodus, what the Exodus talk about. Exodus actually means exit. They move out of the country of Egypt. That was the greatest migration in the human history. 1 to 2 million people moved from Egypt and back to the promised land of Canaan. Because God don't want them to live in Egypt. God want them to move back to the land filled with honey and milk. Okay. So what is the theme of the book of Exodus? The theme has one is redemption in Passover. What does Passover means? Passover in one of the feasts, right? God commanded the Israelite to apply the blood of the lamb on the frame of the door. And that evening, the angel carried the knife. When the angel saw the frame of the door covered by blood, and they just pass over. And for any family, the frame has no blood, and the angels just go in and kill them, the firstborn. So the second morning, every family all crying except the Israelite. Why? Because all the firstborn been killed. And that was the last one, the 10th disaster God sent to them. So Pharaoh's heart original was hardened, and God started to increase the pressure to Pharaoh, but his heart was so hardened. And eventually, when the firstborn son been killed, Pharaoh knew that he was not capable to resist the plan of God to stop the Israel from moving out. So Pharaoh just agreed that they can go out. So redemption in Passover by the blood of the lamb. And anything in the Old Testament always have spiritual significance, right? So today, originally, we are deserved to die. Today, spiritually, we can receive the spiritual life because the blood of the lamb, Jesus Christ, cover us. So we are like the firstborn being rescued, being redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So this is the meaning of redemption. And the second theme is deliverance from Egypt. The first redemption from the knife of the angel. The second is deliverance from the hand of the Egypt, of Egyptian king. So after 10 disaster come, and then Pharaoh allowed them to go. And after 400 years living in Egypt, right now they are going to leave the country of Egypt. So the key words in the book of Exodus, almost about 9 times, redeemed have been used. And the key chapter is chapter 12 to 14. It's a fulfillment of God's promise. As we know that in Genesis chapter 12, chapter 15, chapter 17, about 3 times God reassured Abraham about the covenant he made with Abraham. And God is a faithful God. If God make covenant with anybody, God will fulfill it. So The book of Exodus is to fulfill God's promise and brought Israelite out of Egypt, fulfill his promise. So if we look into chapter 2, we look into, we will go through it chapter by chapter. Now we look into point D. Christ as seen in Exodus. So Jesus Christ came to the world 2,000 years ago, but the shadow already hidden in Genesis, hidden in Exodus, hidden in Numbers, hidden in Deuteronomy. So Bible actually is a very, very profound book. The more we study it, the more we feel that if there is no God, you cannot explain the existence of Bible. There are a few things. We can see the salvation, the shadow of salvation in Exodus. The first one is Moses. In a certain degree, Moses represents Jesus Christ. You know, spiritually speaking, crossing the Jordan River represents what? Crossing the Jordan River represents what, spiritually speaking? Baptism. Can you find a verse? We have to interpret the Bible by the Bible, right? We cannot say randomly without biblical support. Crossing the Jordan River represents baptism. What does the Bible say? First Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our father were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Verse 3, and ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. You see? Crossing the Jordan, the Red Sea represent baptized into Moses. And then we know when we receive the baptism, we baptize into Jesus Christ. And Moses was the one who delivered them out of Egypt. So Jesus Christ is the one who delivered us out of the world. So Egypt represents the world. And the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, represents what? If Egypt represents the world, and Pharaoh represents what? Satan, yes. The king of the world is Satan. So do not love the world. Why? Because the king of the world is Satan. Right? Satan used the world to attract us. So, just like a Pharaoh controlled the Israelite. And then, after we receive the baptism into Moses. But Moses, only part of it represents Jesus Christ. But the last part, Moses cannot represent Jesus Christ. Why? Because Moses also represents law. God gave Moses the law. And according to the New Testament, right, we cannot be saved by observing the law. Law itself is good, but law will make us know our own sin. But law cannot save us. So Moses was unable to go into the land of Canaan, right? Superficial reason is because Moses strike the rock for two times. But there's a prefiguration. Because Moses also represents law, we cannot rely on law, keeping the law, to go into the heaven, which is Canaan. So spiritually, when the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, that is the beginning of the journey. And then when they cross the Jordan, River of Jordan, they go into the Promised Land. So between Red Sea and the Jordan River, this period of time called journey in the wilderness. They sojourn in the wilderness for 40 years. So what does that mean? After the baptism, we start to have our spiritual journey, right? Until we die, we go to heaven. And this period of time is called what? 天路历程, heavenly journey. Okay. And this period of time will be how long? Hey, brother, after you receive baptism until you go to heaven, how many years, brother, how many years it will be? Yes. Many years, how many years? You don't know, right? If you were baptized when you are in an infant, right? And you live 80 years old, that means your journey of faith is 80 years, right? So what does that mean, successful life? If we go back to the teaching of the Bible, successful life means after we crossing the Red Sea, we really go into the Promised Land. That's called successful life. Right? After we receive the baptism, the time we give up our last breath, and God sent angel and bring us to heaven, and that's called successful life. We are ready to go to heaven. But in the last moment of your breath, right, all of a sudden you see the 2-3 black guy coming waiting for you. Then what happened? Even you are president, even you are millionaire, right? Even you are very well-known person, that life is not successful at all. Why? Because you cannot go to the promised land. So from the spiritual perspective, what does success mean? Success means you can go to heaven together with God. And then from the journey, right after crossing the Red Sea to they cross the Jordan River, right? 40 years. Let's think about the statistic and learn something, right? Those who are 20 years above, the male, how many people? The time when they cross the Red Sea, those who are above 20 years old, the male, how many people? 600, 600, it's a lot, right? 600,000, 600,000, not 600, 600,000. After 40 years of journey, how many people really enter into Canaan? Only two, right? What is the survival rate? Not even 1%, right? All of them die in the wilderness. So what does that mean? What does that mean? A lot of people receive the baptism, but really when we die, we can go to heaven. It's only few. So no wonder Jesus Christ said what? The gate to heaven is narrow. If you go into it, the path is rough, right? And lead to eternal life. But if you can find another gate, it's very wide open, right? When you go in there, you never have to kneel down and pray for Holy Spirit. You don't have to fast and pray, right? You don't have to change your lifestyle. No, very easy to go in. But after going, the road is very wide, right? Jesus is love. No matter what kind of sin you commit, the only thing you need to know is what? Repent, and all your sins will be forgiven. No wider road than this, right? But this road will lead to what? Destruction. No. So, Moses represents Jesus Christ in a certain degree. The second, Passover. Passover, the firstborn of the Israel was saved by the blood of the lamb. So Passover represents what? Holy Communion, right? The blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for us on the cross. So we have a fountain for the forgiveness of sin. That represents Jesus Christ, Passover. And then seven feasts. Later on, we will discuss about that. That also referring to Jesus Christ. And Exodus, we are going to read that. It goes through the Red Sea. So in Romans chapter 6, talk about baptism is to what? To die with Christ, to bury with Christ, and to resurrect with Christ. Right? That is called baptism. So going through the Red Sea represents baptism, represents die with Christ, bury with Christ, and resurrect with Christ. So when we receive the baptism, what should we do? Bow down the head, mean we die with Christ, united with the likeness of Jesus' death. And then we whole body emerge into the water, we bury together with Jesus Christ. And when we come out of Egypt, out of the water, we resurrected with Jesus Christ. That means we severed our relationship with the king of Egypt. That relationship finished. Right now we belong to God. So who am I? Before the baptism, I am the son of Pharaoh. I'm in control of Satan. But after the baptism, I am the children of God. I'm the prince of God. There's a tremendous difference. So Exodus represent come out of the world and move into spiritual journey. Now, point five, manna, water, manna and water. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we just read, manna represent what? Spiritual food, right? And water represent what? Water represent what? Spiritual drink. What is spiritual drink? Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. So the Israelites rely on manna and the water. The manna and water itself is a miracle, right? You just go out and you don't have to worry your life. You know, when they come out of Egypt, they did not think about too much. If they start to calculate, right, we have 1 million people, all right, each day we have 3 meals, even we fast 1 meal, still have 2 meals, right? And we walk 100 days, that food will be too heavy for them to leave Egypt, right? So when they leave Egypt, did they bring anything with them? No, only bring some important essential item, that's all. And it's a miracle. But when they run out of food, and then God starts to send the manna for them to eat. Every day come from heaven, manna there. They don't have to work. And then when they are thirsty, what can they do? Right. The rock flow the water. The rock, right? How can a rock flow the water? It's something impossible, but it's become possible. So rely on this manna and the water, they survive for 40 years. So spiritually speaking, what does that mean? Manna represent the words of God, right? Jesus Christ, I'm the bread of life. Bread is Jesus Christ himself and his words. And the water represent Holy Spirit. So today, how can we survive in the spiritual wilderness? We have to eat the words of God and drink the living water, then our spirituality will be strong, then we will be able to continue our journey in the wilderness. So manna and water is so essential. Spiritually speaking, it represents Jesus Christ is the bread of life, his words, and his Holy Spirit. So in the John, Jesus Christ in the last day say, those who are thirsty, hunger and thirst come to me, right? You will receive Holy Spirit. From inside you will gas out the spring of living water. Now the next one, tabernacle. A tabernacle represents what? Moses represents Jesus, right? And manna represents words of God and Holy Spirit, and tabernacle represents what? Inside the tabernacle, what happened? There's a temple, right? Oh, holy and holiness. And God descend on the tabernacle and talk with Moses. Oh, tabernacle represents. Let's first look about tabernacle later on become what? The temple built by Solomon. And later on the temple was destroyed. So in the book of Haggai, rebuilding the temple. And in the book of New Testament, in the 70 AD, all the temple, material temple, is totally destroyed. So it no longer exists. But in the New Testament time, the temple represents Jesus Christ. Body means the church. The church. So if we later on we read the book of Ezekiel, the first part of Ezekiel talk about the material temple being destroyed. And the later part of Ezekiel means the glory of temple being rebuilt. And that glory of temple is talking about the church in the later day. So tabernacle is a place they worship God right now. Church is a place we have communication with God. Jesus Christ is in heaven, but his church is in the world. So we gather together, and church is a place where God feels upon. So we come to the church to worship God. And the seventh one is the high priest. High priest represents what? Also represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look in look for one verse. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14. Seeing that we have a high priest who has passed through the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, and let us hold fast our confession. Verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize our weakness, but was in all point tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So Jesus Christ right now ascended to heaven. According to the Bible, he said he sits in the right side of God. Of course, this has something to do with the explanation of Godhead, very profound issue. But he is serving the function of high priest, intercede for every one of us. Since he is a high priest, so when we feel weakness, you don't be timid, just come before the Lord Jesus Christ and tell him all our weakness. And Jesus Christ will be able to understand our weakness. Why? Because he was a human being before, right? He suffered physically, mentally, spiritually, right? So anytime when we have physical pain, you pray to Jesus. Jesus Christ can understand, right? Why? Because no pain is greater than the pain in crucifixion, right? No pain is greater than pain of crucifixion. Without applying the anesthesis, hundreds of thorns pierced into the skull of Jesus. With a 3 nails penetrate 2 palms, and 2 feet. And the back had been beaten like a plow over that. How painful it is. Nobody had ever experienced that. So when you are very painful, you Jesus, you pray, Jesus can understand. Mentally, spirit, it is the same, right? When you are distressed, depressed, disappointed, you feel so lonely, you tell Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can understand. Why? Because he was betrayed by Judas for 30 pieces of silver, right? He was the most lonely person. Oh, and spiritually, if you feel suffering, Jesus can understand because he was abandoned by God. My God, my God, why do you forsake me? So the high priest represents Jesus Christ. So the shadow of Jesus Christ actually hidden in the book of Exodus. Now we look into the outline. The book of Exodus can be separated into two parts. The first part is redemption from Egypt. The second part is revelation from God. The first part has something to do with deliverance from Egypt. And the second part has something to do with worship and serving God. Oh. And these two are related. Because they can come out of the Egypt, so they can worship God freely in the wilderness. And in Egypt, they were under slavery for 400 years, right? So right now they come out, and Egypt have Egypt custom, and Egypt have Egypt culture, and that custom and culture is not based on worshiping the only one true God. It's based on worshiping the idol. So when the Israelites been delivered out of Egypt, and then God has to give them the law, and God have to give them a lot of rule and regulation, try to discipline them to act like the people of God, to behave like the people of God, right? Just like NYTS here. We are not only learning something theoretical or theological. Actually, we are coming here to be molded, like a Christian. Think like a Christian, talk like a Christian, behave like a Christian, live like a Christian. Now, also, the second part of Exodus is talk about a revelation from God about how to worship God. Now we talk into the first part in bondage, chapter 1 to chapter 12, talk about in bondage. And in chapter 1 to chapter 12, we can see the promise of God and the deliverance from God. This go hand by hand. Exodus chapter 2, verse 24. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. So Israel was suffering, and they complained to God. And verse 24, and God remembered their covenant. And verse 25, and God looked down the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. And later on, chapter 3, God sent Moses to deliver them. So this goes hand by hand. So the time we receive the baptism is the time we make covenant with God. We are the person who belong to God. So don't take advantage of any brother or sister. If the brother and sister complain to God, I'm going to come down and take a look. Right? If you take advantage of the brothers, God is going to chastise the person. Right? This is my prince. How come can you take advantage of the person, right? And then in chapter 1 to chapter 18, we see how God used Moses. The most important verse in Moses' work is chapter 3, verse 12. Chapter 3, verse 12. So he said, verse 12, he said, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you. I shall certainly be with you. If the Exodus will remove this sentence, remove this promise, then even Moses cannot do anything. The reason Moses able to confront Pharaoh is because God said, I will be with you. The reason Moses was able to lead the Israel crossing the Red Sea because God said, I will be with you. The reason the Israel, the Moses was able to resolve a lot of difficulties because God said, I will be with you. This is very important promise. And when God said, I will be with you, at that time, how old was Moses? How old? When God said to Moses, I will be with you, at that time, how old was Moses? 40, 80, 120. How many years old? 80 years old, yes. And Moses want to serve God in what age? 40 years, yes. 40 years, he had a great faith, right? How do you know Moses had great faith? In one evening, he make a decision, right? He give up three things. What are the three things? According to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. The fame, he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. The second, the happiness, the enjoyment in the palace. And the third is silver and gold and all the possessions, right? In one night, he gave up three things. Because of what? Because Moses' faith has grown up. Right? So if we have more Moses, right now we try to recruit three full-time ministers. Even until now, nobody. If we have Moses, then GA will receive too many Moses. We already have 10 people. We only want to recruit one, right? Another 8 years to wait. But we don't have Moses. We have Moses' talent. We have Moses' education. We have Moses' lifestyle, right? Your house like a palace. You did better than Moses, right? Did Moses have cellular phone? No. Did Moses have air condition? No. Did Moses have car to drive? No. Oh, did Moses have internet? No. You are better than Moses, right? But we need to have a Moses faith in 40 years. I tell you, you go from the left route, you will reach to retirement. You go from the right route, you will reach to retirement. When you reach to retirement, what kind of car you drive, what kind of food you eat, what kind of house you live, all pass. Doesn't make too much sense. What kind of school you study. When you reach to retirement, you boast about, I graduated from which school, who cares? Nobody cares, right? Oh, but when you reach to the retirement, you look forward. If you live a life really for God, that will be very meaningful, right? Oh, so we hope we have more Moses. If we cannot find Moses in the sister's side, we can have more than Moses' mother. That will be even better. Cultivate many Moses, right? Oh, so Moses was able to be used by God in the age of 80. And that 40 years, what did Moses do? Taking care of the sheep. By taking care of the sheep, that was a process of refinement. So don't complain, hey, how come church don't want to use me? I'm a very talented people. How come the church don't know me? Don't do that. Just church assign you to clean the toilet, you just clean it. Assign you to teach, you just teach. When you fulfill all your duty faithfully, humbly, and then sooner or later, God is going to use you greatly. So it takes 40 years. God said, I will be with you. It takes time to refine our spirituality into perfection so we can be used by God. And then the law, worshiping God, later on, God make a covenant with the Israelites by giving them the Ten Commandments. Remember, Ten Commandments is not ten suggestions. It's different, no? Subjection is my opinion for you. Whether you want it or not, well, you make your own decision. Commandment is a decree with authority. If we do it, we will be blessed. If we don't do it, what happened? We will be judged accordingly. So nowadays, 10 commandments, still 10 commandments. Even a lot of Christians, 10 commandments is 10 subjection. But for TJC member, 10 commandments is still 10 commandments. Okay, that's pretty inside.